From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This particular book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text comes from John 14 and verse 21, "And will manifest myself to him." The Lord Jesus gives special revelations of himself to his people. Even if Scripture did not declare this, there are many of the children of God who could testify the truth of it from their own experience. They have had manifestations of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a peculiar manner, such as no mere reading or hearing could afford. In the biographies of eminent saints, you will find many instances recorded in which Jesus has been pleased in a very special manner to speak to their souls and to unfold the wonders of his person. Yea, so have their souls been steeped in happiness that they have thought themselves to be in heaven, whereas they were not there, though they were well nigh on the threshold of it. For when Jesus manifests himself to his people, it is heaven on earth, it is paradise in embryo, it is bliss begun. Special manifestations of Christ exercise a holy influence on the believer's heart. One effect will be humility. If a man says, "I've had such and such spiritual communications, I am a great man," he has never had any communion with Jesus at all. "For God hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." He does not need to come near them to know them, and will never give them any visits of love. Another effect will be happiness, for in God's presence there are pleasures forevermore. Holiness will be sure to follow. A man who has no holiness has never had this manifestation. Some men profess a great deal, but we must not believe anyone unless we see that his deeds answer to what he says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will not bestow his favors upon the wicked. For while he will not cast away the perfect man, neither will he respect an evildoer. Thus there will be three effects of nearness to Jesus: humility, happiness, and holiness. May God give them to thee, Christian.
Word have ashamed with boldness pursue the approval of Christ in all that you do. Proclaim his great word, be consumed in his love, pursue
seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little booklet, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Basic Christianity. In chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we find the apostle thanking God for certain characteristics of the Colossian believers. He mentions their faith in Christ Jesus, the love which they had to all the saints, and the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. Three particular words stand out in these verses: faith, love, and hope. As Dr. Cairns is explaining, these represent the foundational truths of true Christianity. The starting point is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith which is based on the body of truth revealed in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, faith in Christ is a response to divine revelation, what the Bible says about Christ, his person, and his offices.
Now, he starts off in chapter 1 by thanking the Lord that in these believers he finds proof of their reception and their practice of what I'll call basic Christianity. You'll notice the use of the words faith and love and hope. Now, those are three things that are frequently brought together. You'll find that they stand together in the New Testament revelation. And any time you observe Christians, professing Christians, showing faith and love and hope, you should give the Lord thanks. Paul certainly did, for they are the essential graces of the gospel. I want us to think of these this morning in order, and I'll try to do so as simply and briefly as possible. First of all, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundational grace. In the New Testament, all Christianity, all Christian experience commences with faith in Christ. Until there is that faith in Christ, there is no Christianity whatsoever. That is the commencing point. By grace are you saved through faith. How does a man get saved? Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What is faith? There are many definitions that may be given of faith, but let me come back to the most fundamental and the most simple. It was a definition used by one of Scotland's great theologian preachers, Dr. Brown of Edinburgh. And he said, faith is simply a sinner believing in Jesus Christ. Now, there are much more theological definitions that are very valid. And on other occasions, I have given those and will no doubt do so again. But let's keep this as foundational as possible. What is faith? Faith is a sinner believing on Jesus Christ to the saving of his soul and to his going on with God. How is a man saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There's no greater reason to thank God for anything in anybody than this. I've often commented when we come to Luke 15 about the rejoicing in heaven. There's a bit of a debate among preachers and commentators as to whose rejoicing is actually being recorded in Luke 15. Did the Lord Jesus mean that there's rejoicing among the angels, in the meaning that the angels were rejoicing, that they were singing? Or does it mean that the angels are there present, noting that the God of glory is rejoicing? I don't think that it's worth arguing a lot about. There's rejoicing in heaven. And it's interesting to note what brings the rejoicing of heaven, and how different it is to what brings rejoicing on earth. I think sometimes even Christian parents can go wrong here. We can buy into what's happening in the world so easily. The world rejoices at human attainment, at education, at wealth, at fame, at athletic ability. These are the things that the world rejoices in. And oh, it would blow a person's head up to some enormous size with pride at what is counted important. But you know, there's not a stirring of rejoicing in heaven when a man makes a million. There's not a stirring of rejoicing in heaven when a team wins the Super Bowl or the World Series. I'll tell you what rejoices heaven. When a poor sinner repents and believes the gospel, and a soul is rescued from the jaws of death and hell, when Satan is robbed of his prey, when Christ sees of the travail of his soul and is satisfied, that's what brings rejoicing in heaven. That's what ought to bring rejoicing on earth. Let me tell you, the sooner we prize the souls of men and women, the better. The sooner we set our sights on seeing people saved, the better. The sooner we have this heart that was so much evident in the great apostle to the Gentiles, that he was rejoicing and thanking God for the evidence of saving faith. This faith is marked by certain things. It's marked by a soundness of belief. Now, in our text, Paul is speaking of what you call the grace of faith. That is the grace that enables a sinner actually to believe. It is a sinner believing that is in view here. It's not what the Bible terms the faith, that body of Christian doctrine. And yet, you know, when you look at this, you find that in the New Testament, faith, considered as the act of believing, always means believing in a particular body of revealed truth. And that's something we have got to understand. Paul says in Ephesians 4:21, the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. So what Paul was praising God for was that the Colossians, steeped in paganism and sin, had heard and received the truth of the gospel, and they believed it to the saving of their soul. Now, I emphasize this because of the day in which we live. Nowadays, it's common to speak as if what really matters, and the only thing that matters, is that people believe. I'm tired of even so-called Christian commentators, evangelicals, lumping people together and talking about people of faith. What is that supposed to mean? These people of faith may be Buddhists, they may be Hindus, they may be Mormons, they may be Roman Catholics, they may be Presbyterians, they may be Unitarians, they may be Trinitarians. They're people of faith. As if the act of believing something religious was what really mattered, and the only thing that mattered. So what we have is an amorphous glob of people, the people of faith. Whereas in reality, in the New Testament, the act of believing is worth something only if the object of that faith is what the Bible sets forth. There is a body of revealed truth. Now, it's beyond the scope of this study this morning for me to go down all the content of that body of revealed truth. I'm very tempted, mind you, because there's a lot of people being accepted as Christians today that I don't believe biblically have the right to be accepted as Christians. And then there are even people who call themselves evangelicals. And they are taking it upon themselves to say, you don't need to believe this and you don't need to believe that. I don't know if you actually read the sermons that are written by some local ministers in the Greenville News every week. I can't say I always read them. They're usually that boring, and I couldn't be bothered. But I decided to read the last one. Well, I take it was the last one. It's the last one I remember. From First Presbyterian Church in Greenville, where the interim senior pastor is a man of learning, and he had the strangest form of reasoning. Again, time does not allow me to critique his reasoning in any great depth, but if I were to follow it through, you could believe in nothing. He starts off with trying to say that the thing that really matters about this Christmas message is that God has become incarnate. I'm very happy to say that is the center of the New Testament gospel. God manifested in the flesh. But he was saying there are certain other things that don't really matter very much. For instance, the star that the wise men saw. And he referred to Caesar Augustus, who proclaimed himself God and the Son of God. And he proclaimed himself virgin born. And he claimed that there had been astronomical signs to back up his claim. And everybody knows that the Roman Caesars did this with some regularity because they claimed to have a place in among the gods. And so the argument from this minister was the star in the sky and the virgin birth, they are not essential. And he made, of course, this is where the logic breaks down. Why would you believe in the incarnation? Why would that be essential when Caesar Augustus claimed that too? I get a wee bit worried when all these PhDs and all the rest of it lose their logic. They foist themselves as scholars on an unsuspecting world and then they throw logic out the window. You either believe the Bible or you don't. It's as simple as that. And this learned cleric told us, I actually happen to believe the virgin birth. He made it sound like it was a compliment to God that he believed it. But it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. After all, there are only two gospels that tell about the virgin birth. Well, Mark doesn't tell us about any birth. So why is that introduced? It's not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. I wonder what on earth Hebrews 10 means then when it says, a body thou hast prepared me. I wonder what it means then when Paul says to the Galatians, he was made of a woman, made under the law. As if there were something miraculous in that. This cleric said, the church, now we come to Presbyterian popery. The church, in its wisdom, has never said that you must believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. Whoever gave the church the right to say anything about what you had to believe to be a Christian? It's not the church, it's the Bible.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.